Luke chapter 10. Start in verse 30. Go ahead and read it. It says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise." Here we have the story of the Good Samaritan. Many of us have heard this story before. I've heard messages from it before. Even though it's maybe common for us, or maybe old hat, as some people would say, the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but it's always useful. It is the living Word of God. And tonight we're going to look at this portion of Scripture again. We're going to look at 2 types of people. The first type of people we see are the injured, those that are in need. And then the second type of people we're going to look at, those that can help, those that can give aid. So we're going to look at the first person this evening. I think it's evening, isn't it? I don't know. I've been driving so much I can't remember where I am, what time it is, and what day it is. So we're going to look at the wounded, the one that needs help. We're going to look at their condition. We're going to look at those that can help. And we're going to look at the response, what the correct response is. So let's go ahead and open with prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, I thank you so much that you've given us an opportunity, Lord, the privilege to come to you. Lord, in prayer, Lord, and to seek your word and look into your word and to learn of you. Lord, I pray that you help us as we look at your word. Lord, help us not just to look at it academically, Lord, but help us to look at it spiritually and to learn to grow from it, Lord, to apply it in our hearts, Lord, that we may be more like your son. Lord, help us to have an open heart, open mind to your word. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. Work in us in a great way. In your name I pray. Amen. So the first person we're going to look here is the certain man. In this parable, God presents the certain man. He's talking about, in the first part of the few verses ahead, he's talking about a lawyer came to Christ and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus points him to the Word of God. Well, what does the Word of God say? What does the law say? And he says, I'm supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength and mind, and my neighbor as myself. And Christ said, you're right. Do this and live. Is Christ preaching good works for salvation? No, because he knew what the man was going to say just after that. The man was... As verse 29 says, he was willing to justify himself. The man realized he couldn't do that. You know, we can't live the law perfectly. Why? Because we are sinners. The Bible also says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Even the good things we do, the righteousness, the best righteousness we can do is as filthy, dirty, rotten rags that you wouldn't even pick up to wipe the oil off the dipstick on your car. That's how filthy our good things are to God. And God was wanting this man to see that he was a sinner in need of help. He wanted him to see that his neighbor, that he himself was as the certain man. Here, let's look at the certain man. Let's look at the condition of this man. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now this man is comparable to a lost man. Here he's minding his own business, going about whatever he was going to do, and he was robbed. Thieves came in, robbed him, beat him up, took all that he had, and left him for dead. Satan has done the same thing. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that we are dead in our sin, our trespasses and sins. Satan wants to keep us from getting to heaven. Now, the Bible also tells us that we are born in sin. We are born sinners. This also means that we are without hope. We are without hope in ourselves. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Man is naturally in trouble. Because man is born a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, that means man is in trouble. We're just as this man that's been robbed, beaten, and left for dead. That is the lost man's situation. Without Christ, there is no hope. We see here also in verse 30, it says, they fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, I don't know much about medical things. Anybody here trained in medicine? No, good. At least I'll sound halfway smart here. But I don't know. But I don't think half dead is really a medical term, but you get the idea. Someone that's half dead, if he's left half dead to himself, he's going to be what? Whole dead. There's some mathematical equation there. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not a math major. But here, we know what's going to happen. The man's beaten. He's left for dead. He's going to die unless someone helps him. Romans 6:23, as I quoted, the wages of sin is death. It is appointed unto man once to die. James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. We don't know when our life will end. You can't roll up your sleeve and on your watch has, you have 1,200,000, well, that's a lot, but you have 100,000 days left, and it clicks off. We don't have that. We don't have a clock that says when our life is going to end. We could live another 20 years, another 80 years, or another 30 seconds. We don't know. We don't know when our loved ones are going to pass away. We don't know when our neighbor is going to slip off into eternity. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is not just separation from life. Death, in Romans 6:23, is talking about separation from God forever. Eternal torment in a place called hell. Not a good situation this man is in. Not a good situation man is in. Any man without Christ. The certain man here in verse 30, he's in trouble. He's without hope within himself. He's about to die. But we see he needs a Savior. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thankfully, man is not without hope. Man is without hope in himself. But there is a Savior. Amen. There is Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time was come, Christ came. He died for us. He died to take our place, to put His righteousness in our place, to take our punishment on the cross. Without someone to tell the lost, without someone giving the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, men all around are as a certain man laying in the ditch, bleeding to death, going to die, unless someone gives them aid. Tonight, you might be that person that's laying in the ditch, that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is hope. It's not in church. It's not in good deeds. It would just be as going into a hospital. Going to church for salvation is just like going to a hospital with a broken arm. You go and you sit down in their emergency room. Somebody comes and asks, can I help you? No, I'm okay. I'm at the hospital. Doctor comes in. Can I help you? No, I'm okay. I'm at the hospital. You go in with a heart attack. You walk in. Can I help you, sir? No, I'm okay. I'm at the hospital. The hospital's not going to help you. What do you need? You need surgery. You need a doctor. Good deeds is not going to help you. The only way of salvation is Jesus Christ. Amen. You need a Savior. Christian, you understand this. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You put your faith and trust in Him. And you've made it out of the ditch. But more likely, you had someone show you the way to salvation, didn't you? You had someone to take their Bible or a gospel tract and show you that, hey, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what Christ has done for you. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you can have salvation. Just believe. We talked about there's two people in the two types of people in the story. The one that needs help and those that could help. Let's look at those that could help. Verse 31. It says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Here's a man that can help. This man's in the ditch. He's wounded. He's bleeding. He just needs someone to come and give him aid, to give him medicine, to take care of him. But what does he do? He's walking along, and he's walking along the road, and to the left, he sees a mangled body in the ditch, and he sees it and kind of walks over to the other side before he even gets there and just acts like he doesn't see it. He ignores the need. You know what, Christian? We can be a good neighbor. And we can help those around us that don't know Christ as their Savior. We can give the gospel. That is our duty to do. It is our duty to go and give aid to those who are without Christ, to those that are in the most need, those that don't know Christ. Or we can be as this priest that just ignored the need. Too many times, as Christians, we do that. That is our reaction to the lost. Yeah, we see them, but we pretend like they don't have a problem. They're okay. They'll make it. They'll find God some way. Maybe they'll turn on their TV and hear Joel Osteen. That's not going to help them. The only way is through Jesus Christ and them hearing the gospel. We need to tell them. Second, we see the Levite. Verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Here, the Levite, he doesn't just see him at a distance and kind of pass by. This has the idea. He came up and he came to the ditch where he was and scooped down and really considered, oh, man, this guy is in some bad shape. As a newfie would say, some bad shape by. Whew. Looks at him. Oh, man. Whew. He's been robbed. He's been beaten. He looks like he's close to death. Whew. Sure glad I'm not him. And kept on going. If we saw that happen, if we came upon an accident, and we saw somebody that could help, say an ambulance comes by, stops and looks at the injured man, and the EMTs get out and look at him, and, oh, he's bad, and take off. How horrible. We would be calling somebody pretty quick, wouldn't we, and complaining. And hopefully you would go and help the man. But we'd say, how despicable. But how many times do we look at our neighbor say, oh man, look at the sin they're in. And we look down on them. We say, despicable. They do this, they do that. You see how they treat all the other neighbors? This guy at work, the language that he uses, the jokes that he tells. Oh, what a horrible person. But yet, we neglect to give them the gospel. We see their sin. It's obvious the condition they're in. We know where they're headed, but we don't take time to give them the gospel. We don't take time to sit down with them and show them the way of salvation. Let's look at the last person here, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. We can help. We know what the cure is. We know how to help the lost because we've been helped by Jesus Christ. We've been helped by the gospel. We can give the simple cure, but we must have compassion first. We must show mercy. We know the condition of the lost. We were there at one point. It's not enough just to know it, to have it in our heads. But we have to be moved with our heart, moved with compassion, and action come forth to show mercy. Let's look at the response of the Samaritan. First thing he did was he went to him. Simple. He went to where the man was. He went, he knew he was in trouble, and he went and he gave him the cure. Simple enough. The first thing we need to do is just go. Go with the gospel. Give it the gospel. Now, this Samaritan, I don't think he was medically trained. More than likely, he wasn't a doctor. He didn't spend years studying on how to fix the wounded on the side of the road. But he knew, he did what he knew to do. Witnessing to those around us isn't just for the pastor and those that have been to Bible college. It's for everyone. It's everyone's job. If you've accepted Christ, you are an ambassador for Christ. You have the job to go out and tell others about your King, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for you and what he can do for them. We need to go and give the cure. It's not about what we think the gospel is. We're not giving our words, we're giving the word of God. It's the word of God that's the power unto salvation, not the word of Patrick O'Brien, not the word of Pastor Parrish, but it's the word of God. You simply give the word of God, and men come to Christ, because it's through the word of God people come to Christ. We need to go. We need to give the cure. Next, we see that in verse 34, where he went and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. It says, and he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. When we give the gospel, whether they come to salvation or not, we need to continue giving the gospel until they accept the gospel, until they accept Christ as their Savior. And once they accept Christ as their Savior, bring them to church with you. The Samaritan that just bind up his wounds and put in ointment and say, all right, good, you've got what you needed now. I hope you make it. You know, I've given you everything I've got. You just heal yourself there, buddy. Get strong and head on your way. No, what did he do? He picked him up. He put him on his own donkey. Took him to the closest inn to take care of him. He took him out of the situation he was. Witnessing and bring others to Christ is not the end point with that person. We need to help them to grow in Christ. You wouldn't leave a newborn baby on the couch just to take care of themselves. You're on the floor, you'll be okay. Here's some food, and all right, see you later. No, but how many times do we do that with people that have come to Christ, that we've won to the Lord? You'll make it. No. They have their salvation. They're going to heaven, but they're going to have a hard time. Can people grow in Christ without discipleship? Possible, but not probable. They need to know what God expects of them. They need to know, learn of Christ. We need to bring them out of the situation they're in. Bring them to church. Give continued aid. Here it says he brought him to the inn and took care of him, continued taking care of him. The Great Commission doesn't just end with giving the gospel. It tells us to teach, to make disciples. Our job doesn't stop with giving the gospel, winning someone to Christ, but it continues on to disciple, to build up, to teach the doctrines. But also here, in verse 35, it says, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Here the Samaritan, he couldn't stay forever. He couldn't stay until the man was healed. So what he did was, he went to the innkeeper. He said, as you know, I brought this wounded man in yesterday. I have to go about my business. I have to go take care of my family, or whatever it was. He says, take care of this man for me. Here's some money. If he needs help longer than this, I will make sure that you are paid well for this. I will make sure that you have everything you need to take care of this man, to get him on his way. When we can't reach someone, We need to help others reach that person. We all can't go across the world and reach every people group, can we? We can through the local church, through missions giving. That's why you give to missions, so they can reach the people that you can't reach. This is what the Samaritan is wanting to do here. I can't be here and help, so I want to make sure he gets help. And here's some money. Here's something to help this man along. We need to be willing to give where we can't go. We looked at the two types of people. The ones that need help, those that are lost, and those that can give help. Which one are you tonight? Verse 36, Christ said, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" Verse 37, and he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Tonight, I pray that you're not the one in the ditch that needs help. One without Christ. Christian, I pray that you're not as the priest or the Levite that's ignoring the need. That this is, I don't have time for that and I don't want to deal with that type of person. I hope that you're the one that shows mercy. God tells us to go and do thou likewise. Be a good neighbor. Win the lost. Help others win the lost. It's our duty. Let's pray. Let's all stand. Close our eyes. Bow our heads in prayer. As Pastor Parrish comes forward. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have a Savior. Lord, that we don't have to spend eternity separated from you. But you came to die in our place, to take our sin and give us your righteousness. Lord, if there's anyone here that don't know you as their Savior, Lord, that tonight they'll put their faith and trust in you for their salvation. Lord, if there's a Christian in here that they haven't been witnessing, they haven't been showing mercy to their neighbor, to those at work, to their family members, those they meet, Lord, that today they'll show mercy, Lord, that they'll go and do likewise. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're going to do. Lord, work in us in a great way. In your name I pray. Amen.